You're not going to want 60.
I have sort of a two-parter. Sure. One, why do you like scaring the shit out of all of us all the time? And two, is there a secret to crafting a good scare and an earned scare, more importantly?
Well, the first is, I don't know why. I just always gravitated toward that stuff when I was a kid. But, the experience I get when sitting in the back of a theater and watching people, I think it's like comedy. You get to hear people laugh in the horror. You get to hear people gasp or sort of they start to nervously talk to one another. Man, it's just the best feeling. So that becomes addicting. Mm-hmm. The second question about the secret of crafting a good scare, most everything I've learned in terms of making scary movies and stuff, I started early on working with James, and he sort of really laid out his scare sequences are like action set pieces. He doesn't like a lot of stings or a lot of jump scares. Like, he likes just to build up and set up and pay off, and it's like a drum roll.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to incorporate that into everything I do. So then working with Andy, and he's sort of got his own thing, and you sort of take sort of what I've learned from him and sort of put it all together. So for me, it's like the setups and payoffs that I think are really kind of integral to making the scare sequence work. And then I think, what Stephen King does so well and what James does, they take that, the sort of... the ordinary object and sort of make it extraordinary, or pay it off in some creepy way, like a doll or a clown.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, what's your earliest horror film memory? First one you saw?
Man, my earliest horror movie memory. Yeah, I think it was probably Cujo. I saw it really early on with my mom. She brought it home. Why is that funny?
I just saw it.
Oh, really?
And I, for the first time ever, and I thought it was billed as this super scary thing. Sorry, I don't want to.
No.
But I wasn't that scared. But when you're little, sure.
Yeah.
Firestarter scared the shit out of me.
Well, again, you're taking a dog and making it a fucking monster.
Right.
And then, and the kid's got asthma, and, I had asthma as a kid, it felt like my first adult movie when I was a kid. My mom, she put it on the VCR and stuff, and she loved it because it was by, she just liked the house by the water and stuff. But I think that was early on. I think that was probably one of my earliest.
Remember it doing any damage to you?
Well, I'm here.
No.
I mean, I'm a big, huge dog lover and stuff. So no, it didn't turn me off of dogs or anything. I grew up reading Christopher Pike and R.L. Stine and Lois Duncan, and then from there, the first Stephen King thing I read was The Body. And I remember, Stand By Me. I remember there was a my dad didn't go to the movies too often by himself growing up, but I remember he went to that one by himself, which was like the same time period that he grew up in and stuff, and he came home so affected by the story that affected me in a way, but The Body was sort of that, the gateway drug, if you will, into Stephen King and all that.
Sure.
And then I went to that.
So Gary, you've worked with a lot of up and coming directors, I feel like.
Yeah.
People who have kind of have not been that seasoned yet.
Right.
Do you have any, was there any reservations for you doing that? I mean, David knocked it out of the park with Annabelle, and now you have this one, which is another grand slam. So,
yeah.
Did you have any reservations working with these directors? I always wonder, because from a writer's standpoint, because they're the ones who are going to turn your words into a movie.
No, I mean, because I know that they seem sort of, maybe unseasoned on a big on a bigger scale of things,
right.
Like when you come in, but you sit down and you talk to them, and they've been doing it their whole life. You know what I mean? Like David, why he not made a studio film? He was making shorts out of his as a guerrilla filmmaking and stuff, which, and his enthusiasm and passion. I mean, same with, Corn Hardy on The Nun. Like the guy, you sit down with him, and he's just the embodiment of. Or in all the best ways, he's just a fan, and his passion, his enthusiasm, his references, he just, they lived with this stuff in a way that doesn't make you feel nervous at all. It just makes you feel excited, and just gets you on board for the ride, to work with them. So no, I don't get nervous. I mean, I love it. It's so much better than working with someone who's just cynical and jaded and okay, I want to do this, and then go off and do something else. I want to work with people who want to stay in horror and do horror. It's so nice and refreshing.
How did this project come to you?
It They, you know, Andy came on board, and I'd worked with New Line on a ton of things, and they knew my enthusiasm for it and all things Stephen King, because when they were working on it and developing it years and years ago, I just kept asking about it, just as a fan. Where is it at? What's going on? Can I read the script? All that stuff. And finally, it was just, you know, they came on board, and they said, hey, do you want to get in the room with Andy? And I was, yeah, I mean, before they got the question out, I was already in the room with Andy. Like,
no, no
fucking
second thoughts? I mean, look at it.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. Yeah, no. I mean, I can't. No, there was no second thoughts.
It wasn't overwhelming to you looking at this thing?
Oh, it was overwhelming. The anxiety is terrible. Yeah, I mean, all those bad things for sure. But I could not turn down, you know, one of my favorite books of all time. And working with Andy, of course, you just know you're in good hands. And I know having worked with New Line for so long, I knew it, and talking to Seth and David and Barbara, like, they were just all fans. Like, oh, I think this is gonna turn out well.
From the things,
I just need to not get in their way.
From the what you read in the book and what you've grown up sort of ruminating on, were there certain themes that you wanted, that you knew wholeheartedly, I'm going to pull from this, or things that you knew you were going to lose? Like, there's a lot in there that
trim
the fat sort of a thing, or stuff you cannot do these days that you could do in the 80s.
yeah. But, you know, but the benefit, yeah, but you could do a lot more stuff that, like, for instance, with the, you know, I loved the miniseries as a kid, and, you know, it was a big influence, but not on this, but in particular, like, I didn't go back and revisit it.
Right.
But, so we could push it further with the scares, and we could push it further with the language of the kids, but the, you know, I think the fact that I had read The Body first, I think has really kind of influenced or contextualized all the Stephen King, the stuff that comes after that.
Right. Yeah.
So for me, it was really about the dynamic of the losers and stuff that I really wanted to sort of, you know, make sure
coming of age
comes
stuff
through. Yeah. Because, and those, you know, yeah, because I think that's so, you know, everybody kind of experience, you know, that we all go through these things and overcoming our fears. And and I had a train of thought, but I lost it. But that was sort of the one thing, the thing I really wanted to protect.
Mm-hmm.
As for particular scenes, like, there wasn't one where I was like, oh, we definitely got to have that in there, because they're all great. So it just became a question of, you know, what are we going to be comfortable losing,
right,
and not miss it when we read the script?
Right.
Like, we're not going to go, oh, where's that? You know, and that's kind of what we did. That's kind of how we tested ourselves, you know, in terms of all that stuff.
What was it like to be in King's headspace? Because I heard he likes to play, like, hard rock music when he writes.
Yeah, I know. I'm reading On Writing now again for the umpteenth time. If any of you have not read it, it's one of my favorite books. Yeah, I can't write to music.
Yeah, me.
I need, like, just quiet space. But, you know, it's like you're kind of, you know, transcribing in a way. I mean, you know, you try to make it your own, but he's so great. He's so good. All that stuff is there and just ripe for the, you know, the picking. So it's just, you know, it's kind of like that.
I'm curious about the ending, because I haven't read the book, admittedly. It's really intimidating. But I've been told that the kids floating and really tying that all back into something concrete that,
yeah,
you know, we all float down here, is not in the source material. So was that you coming up with that as the co-writer, or where did that come from?
That's Andy. That's all Andy. I mean, he just drilled down on that and nailed it and had these ideas. And the great thing about Andy is, like, he'll talk about it, and then as he's talking to you about it, he'll have, like, and just draw it as he's talking about it. And then you're like, Andy, I don't quite know what you're saying. And then he's like, boom, here it is. And you're like, oh, all right, so you want the fucking toys and all that stuff. And so he had these great, so he's just so great visually. Obviously, because the director, but, like, he's just great at sort of laying out visually what he wants and what he's been thinking of. And he'll say, oh, I had this thought last night at 2 in the morning, like, and I just drew this. And you go, you look at it, you're like, you know, I'm going to save that and frame it.
I thought it was great that came back to something, that it came full circle.
Yeah, no. It was great. Yeah, I mean, it was, admittedly, we have these conversations, and you don't quite know what's going to stick and what isn't, but that's one that really early on he sort of nailed. He's like, I just have this image of Bev, and he drew it out. I remember drawing it out. It's just this fucking, it's this beautiful, just pen drawing that, like, he throws away. It's just such a waste. But but yeah, I just remember it, just using that as sort of the inspiration when you're sort of writing it. You know?
How many versions of the script were there?
That I don't know. I don't have a question. I don't have an answer.
Because it seems like the movie is much different than the book, obviously, in terms of the structure.
Yeah.
And the flashbacks, because we were just talking to the producers about it.
Right.
Did you ever want to do the flashbacks, or did you always know, too, that you wanted to be two different movies?
I never raised the issue of like, oh, should we try to boil it all down into, you know, a 3-hour movie, because I just didn't think that was going to work.
Okay.
It wasn't even a conversation with me, no one had, so.
What was the process on this script? Because it seemed like it was won by Chase and Carrie.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they had, and Carrie was going to direct, and he had sort of his vision, but there wasn't a sense of like, oh, we got to tear this thing down and fucking start from scratch, right? Because they still used the same source material that we were going to use.
Right.
So it's really just taking what they're, and it's kind of like, you know, it's just kind of picking up the ball and running with it. You know, like that's kind of how how I looked at it. You know, and making
favorite?
Sure it just, you know, Andy had his vision and making sure, you know.
What was your favorite addition to the script that already existed? Like, I'm gonna ask you to toot your own horn for a second, but what was the thing that you thought really worked after seeing the final product that you added to it later on?
I think, I don't know, because I don't want to slag, you know, but there's some jokes in there, like I think there's some humor in there that maybe wasn't evident before or whatever, that just, you know, but that stuff, like, I like those moments of levity.
You didn't write gazebo, did you?
Gazebo?
Yeah, instead of placebo.
No. You know, I think, I think that was, I wish I did, because I fucking love that moment. As far as you know, I did.
Do you want to take
that? But that was, he came up with that on the day.
Really?
Yeah.
Not the actor.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. Confirm that with, have you talked to Andy yet?
No.
It might be Andy.
No.
But I think it was him. I think it was the actor. He's fucking... I mean, dude, those kids are
outstanding. Which kid was your favorite?
Oh, yeah.
Eddie or Richie?
Yeah,
you
can.
Did you have a favorite one to write for, though?
Yes.
Oh, that was... Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
because I love them all. My favorite one to write for... You know, I don't know. I mean, there's... Like, I loved writing, you know... I think... Look, I came away really... You know, falling in love with Beverly all over again.
Yeah.
But I loved, you know. But there's certain, you know, they each. I feel like what the movie does really well is I think each one gets a moment to shine in different scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
So I really like. So being able to do that, like they all have their great moments, and I really liked making sure they each get their, you know, they get the shine. But Beverly. You know.
Can we ask about the nun real quick
sure.
What it's like working with James Wan and how you take this this scary monster creature thing that sort of had an explanation and origin in The Conjuring 2 and try to create a new story for it.
Well, we build off that what we sort of established Conjuring 2. We build off that. You know, working with James is just, you know, I'm just so. It's sort of an embarrassment of riches, because you get to, like this, you get to lean on Steven and Andy, like on all those, I get to lean on James. And the guy is so generous with his talent that it's just, you know, I'm just so happy to be able to benefit from it. But, and then you put, you know, for instance, for On the Nun, then you throw a guy like Corin Hardy into the mix, who's got his own ideas and sensibilities and stuff, and so and his talent. And it just becomes... such a unique and thrilling experience. I was there in Romania from beginning of, you know, as executive producer on this one, so I'm there from April to end of June in Romania, in castles in Transylvania and stuff. Like, you know, just as a horror fan, you're
right.
Like, oh my God, like I've never, I'm 40 years old, I just never thought I'd be able to do that. And that was, you know, just something I won't ever forget.
Do you guys call it the Wanaverse internal?
Well, I'll start now. I'll start now. But
how far along on the sequel are you, too?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
Yes.
I'm focused on this one right now. getting this one out there.
Have you actually started on it?
It's going to be greenlit on Sunday.
I'll defer to the producers on that.
Okay. Can you talk about Pennywise as a monster? Do you guys have like a Bible of his origin and his powers?
On Pennywise?
Yes.
Did we have like a sheet where we sort of like defined his,
mm-hmm.
like, no. Because he is an eternal being, he's got sort of endless sort of abilities and stuff. So we kind of didn't feel sort of too trapped by what Pennywise can or can't do, because he can do a lot. I didn't do that.
It's also the performance too, I think. He's much more of a visual thing than he is, you know, I mean, he says stuff, but it's It's how it's all presented.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, the fear seasons the skin. He's eats. You know, I just, I kind of think all that stuff sort of. But in terms of like his powers and what he can't and can't do, like, yeah, we didn't have like a hard, fast rules and all that stuff. I mean, we kind of, you know, if we threw out an idea, it kind of was just like an instinctual thing going, oh, that's too, you know, batshit insane or whatever.
How would you describe the process of bringing the narrative timeline up into the 80s? Like, as far as like what elements from the 80s you chose to incorporate in the film? Even little things like Street Fighter, New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, wow, such the fun part. Because, like, you know, like Fear seasons the skin, that stuff seasons the story. So it's like, so that was just like, you know, from just drawing from my own experience or other people's experience, you know, just who worked on it, like, you know, I wanted to, like, yeah, the Street Fighter, you know, I just remember playing that in the arcade, and I just remember I wanted to cut, we didn't quite get it to him, I remember the script, it's like, you know, they're about to face off with Pennywise, so he's going into the arcade, and you just cut to, you know, final boss battle on the screen, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, it's like, just stuff like that that I just remember as a kid that I just loved. But, like, you know, then I see Lethal Weapon and Batman in the theater. Like, I didn't write that in a script, but I'm sitting there watching a movie and go, oh, that's so cool. And then just, you know, the music and stuff. Like, I, yeah, I'm sure they had, I try to, sometimes I'll write tracks into it. But, like, the New Kids thing and all that stuff. But then, you know, then the music people will come up with cool stuff, which is just, you know, so fun. I love that stuff.
All right, guys, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're actually going to go out the back.
Oh, okay, great. All right, you guys have a great day.
Thank you.